Lime. Duh.
Yeah. Let's do it, baby. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree.
Erase your mind.
I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Dunsky Blackamora.
No more Mr. Nice Chew.
a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling. a.k.a. the modern day Donnie Capri from that time I went to Italy.
Why don't you shut up, Steve?
A.K.A. the modern day goof and spoof, Raja.
Can you smell what the Rossi is kicking?
Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, gabba, gabba, wee.
Gabba, gabba, yeah, wee, gabba, gabba, gay, gabba, gabba,
gabba, gabba, gabba, wee,
gabba, gabba, gay, gabba, gabba, gabba.
Shock the system.
Baby! She's mine, and
a little bit of the bubbly.
Damn, she's fine. Yeah. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our wrestling reactions. All right. Wow. I gotta calm down.
I want someone to make a shirt that is, instead of the Rock and Sock Connection, it's the Goof and Spoof Haraja.
The Goof and Spoof Haraja. Oh, man. Before we get into it.
Oh, what flavor is that?
Lemon. Leftover from our 9 to 5 episode. That's how you know the lime was more popular. We're cheersing up here. That's a little bit of a LaCroix lemon duck.
Ooh.
Yeah, to my front, as always, in studio, the nasty one, Nasty Newman Hagen.
Welcome to How About It City, bitch.
Yeah, How About It City, bitch. Listen, everyone, before we get into it, I just want to say that our 9 to 5, 8-hour summit episode is in the books, baby!
Baby!
This is the go-home show, right?
That's right. This is the go-home show for the 8-hour episode. We had tons of... This room was packed. The studio was at max capacity. Yeah. The LaCroix were popping. We drank a record number of LaCroix. We talked all thing pro wrestling in the year 2019 and just literally everything. Talked about merch. It was a fucking great time. It's Cal Christmas is really what it is.
Yeah.
And speaking of Cal Christmas... You can listen to the 8-hour episode on Christmas Day if you're a patron at the $5 level. Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. You get access to our full archives of episodes and tons of stuff. If you've been listening to the show all year and you're going to have some downtime at the end of the year, this is the time to give back to the Cow Podcast and become a patron. Consider it. Now, the stakes are low. Do it. But the rewards are high. Cool. So also our one of my guys t-shirts, those officially were sold and those will be being mailed to you in the next couple of weeks. So thanks for all the jabroniacs who bought one. And also another announcement for the podcast is also our bonus episode, our Patreon episode will be out. I'll do one last one for the year tomorrow with the Supermark, Nick Tulo, who's chomping at the bit to chew my ear out about Shayna Baszler, who took a lot of heat on the 9 to 5 episode.
Unfairly so.
Okay, and we'll see. You'll hear it. Anyway, so this is our last episode of 2019.
Wow.
We're going to be off next week because due to Christmas and New Year's. Is it Xmas?
Yeah, I've declared war on Christmas.
Oh, now
so
it's only Xmas?
Don't say Seamus. in front of me.
I won't.
It's Xmas only. Get the Christ out of Christmas.
Okay.
The Christ out of everything.
Holy motherfucking shit.
Wow, Newman is taking a serious heel turn here.
Happy holidays.
Under siege.
Under siege.
Okay.
Season's greetings.
So listen, this is our last episode of the year. Everyone, we're going to be taking off next year. But if you want to hear us, you can get 8 hours of us on Christmas Day by becoming a patron. Okay. So I don't want to hear any complaints. Okay. For a measly five smackers, you can listen to us for all of Christmas. You can skip Christmas and hang out with us if you want. also, we're going to be also taking off the next week. So we'll be back the week of the 6th, I believe. So, with tons of awesome stuff going on in 2020 with Cal that I'm going to keep under wraps. Nosh knows about what we got planned. And thank you for your support. Consider keep supporting. We have a lot of work to do, and we need support, baby. All right. So, since it's our last year, Newman, our last episode of the year, I prepared a couple lists here.
Okay. Of the decade, Dan.
Oh, of the decade.
Wow.
Well, I didn't plan anything of the decade, but man, it feels like just yesterday I was watching Jericho debut for the millennium.
Right.
Like the Y2J.
Yeah.
I mean, that does not feel like it. You know, call me old. Many people are calling me old. Man, the time has flown. What was 2010 about? Like, I don't remember shit about 2010.
2010, we were just a year into the recession, right? The economy collapsed in 2009 you know, the banks and the mortgage companies purposely...
They got a tarp.
Purposely ripped the wealth out of American people's hands. Then what happened? We're still in Afghanistan, right?
Afghanistan and Iggy Azalea. That's what
Occupy Wall Street was on and popping. That was 2000.
You know what's crazy is I was thinking about this because I was buying my tickets for WrestleMania. I've been to, this will be my 6th WrestleMania in a row. And I had tickets for WrestleMania 30. You guys, everyone infamously knows the story. Is that Shebs bought tickets for WrestleMania 30. We're all like, we gotta go. When we didn't go, missed the ending of the streak and Daniel Bryan's incredible win. And we're like, yo, we're obviously going next year. And since that, since missing that year, we have not missed.
You know why? Because the part of the spell that WWE puts on people, myself included, is that you're always under, you have the sense that something big is going to happen.
Right.
And you got to be there to see it.
Right.
And it never happens. But well, the next one, look, it's going to. This is a big show. It's like you said before, like with Jamie, where you're like you watch a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And you're like, guys, this is important. I got to watch this pay-per-view. And then like, there's another pay-per-view. And she's like, another pay-per-view? And you're like, well, yeah. I mean, this one, John Cena's going to be there. Something could
happen. It's actually helped my life tremendously. It's never to think of anything with wrestling. They're all important to me, but all of equal importance.
Right.
It's all of, you got to keep it. Even if you're more excited than the last one, the priority is the same level. You put it at the same level. This is how you maintain.
Right.
This is how you maintain. It's like, same thing with like the fucking gym. Like sometimes I used to get into like hardcore beast mode where I'm like, I'm working out 3 hours a day and I'm like, I'm going to keep that up. But then I fizzle out fast. But then this year, it was my most consistent gym year of my life. Maybe college or whatever. Right. But my healthiest relationship with the gym, and maybe we'll do a, we got to do, I mean, we're probably due for a lifestyle episode. Am I right?
Yeah.
Was from keeping it at this, at like an 8.
Right.
As opposed to going to 11.
Right.
I'm like, yo, stay at the 8. Even when you feel like you want to rev to 11, you stay at 8.
Right.
That's how you keep that consistency. So as this relates to wrestling, it's like, yo, TLC, just as important as SummerSlam. You know what I mean?
Which is a
hot 8, right? But the promoters, the promotion side of WWE, they want you to go to 12. The Sweater Bray. There was a time where I go, yo, Sweater Bray, gotta make sure I'm at home for Sweater Bray. Now, you know what? It's an 8.
Right.
Which means if your wife's like, you know what, I really like to get to dinner. Even though you're like, I gotta see fucking Sweater, bro.
Oh, now I see what you're saying.
Yeah. You're like, no. But That means you stay off the spoilers, and you, and then the second she goes to sleep,
yeah.
I'm watching Sweater
the moment.
Bray.
Yeah.
I gotta. We got kind of derailed, but when it comes, so this is our last episode of the year. Okay, mm-hmm. So I made these lists, or as you want to call them, lexicons.
Lexicons.
I made a couple lexicons. And by the way, we're recording this right now as AEW and NXT are live. I got AEW going right now. I'm watching Hangman Page square off with Pentagon.
Balor, it said.
Boy, oh boy, do I.
They're calling him Prince Balor.
You know what? I love that. I love calling Finn Prince.
Yeah.
It really works. Okay.
And I got, of course, I got the NXT feed going.
So let's kick it off.
We should be on Twitch. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It might be part of our, you don't know.
All right.
You don't know what we're doing.
All right.
You don't know what we're doing.
You don't know, man.
You don't know.
Oh, so this match is for the title between Balor and
Cole. Kick it off NXT.
Yeah.
These guys are like,
actually, speaking of the title.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Cal title?
If he's the champ. If he's the champ, I'm on it.
I know. That's the last.
I'm on it.
Okay. Okay.
I got it.
All right.
I'm on it. It's being handled. All right.
Okay. Fine.
All right. All right, let's do the pot. So I got this list. I got two lists. You choose which you want to start with.
Okay.
I'm kind of leaning towards starting more positive, but I made like wrestlers who had the best year list. I did a top 10 best wrestlers who had the best year.
Got it.
And then I did a list of, and I love lists or lexicons.
Don't we, folks?
Folks, don't we? Since Letterman, not Adam, since David, I've been a list guy. And then I made a list of wrestlers who I think had bad years.
Okay.
Okay? But I didn't put the bad year list in a particular order, which maybe I should do. I started to, and then I was like, you know what? I feel like it's just like, hey, there was something about it rubbed me the wrong way.
Right.
Of having a number one worst year guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because all these wrestlers had, you could argue, had good moments and stuff, but it's hard to gauge what it is. It's some wrestlers I had higher expectations for, and I feel like they fell flat. Or some of them, it's a more of a booking thing. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone on my list did a flat out bad job. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Actually, one guy on this list did a bad, is doing a bad job, but. Then you make the argument that WWE has such control over what these guys are doing. I felt bad putting them on a list. I felt bad putting it in order. So, where do you want to start? With the best of the year or the worst?
Let's start with the negative.
All right, we're starting negative?
Yeah.
All right. So, these are, again, these are not in any order. And then we'll do a couple. We'll talk about some specifics from TLC and some thoughts I got there, and then we'll end it with the best list.
Yeah,
how about that?
Okay, and I have a pick for, I think, the wrestler who had, in my opinion, the best year, in terms of where they were January 1st in their career and where they are now.
Yeah.
I don't have a list. I just have one.
So here's the deal,
and it might be surprising to you.
It might be, or it might not be.
Right.
But I do like to think of a more nuanced list, right? It's easy to just say, like, you know, Reigns, look at his win record,
right.
Whatever, right? Like, if you look at Reigns, he probably had the best year. If you look at, I was talking about this with Jabroni and Christopher
Who
Albright.
Who cares about records?
He was messaging me. Right. Because he was like, how do you gauge, like, in the summit? Because in the 9 to 5 episode, we're ranking wrestlers,
right.
You know? And I was like, oh, well, last year in the 9 to 5, I laid out, like, a serious, I laid out more of a rubric. Wrestling is above rubric. That's why I love wrestling. That's why my stand-up joke about stats went viral.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's about like, oh, he scored a little more points. That's not what we're looking at. It's more feel. Mm-hmm. It's more, you have an understanding of this business and you know who's doing good work.
Right.
Like if you look at Matt Hardy, who knows when he won a match or not? Didn't matter. But he had that one year, he wasn't even in WWE, better years than he's had in WWE. So it's hard to gauge.
Right.
Remember that year I gave number one best wrestler, I don't even know what the topic is. Wrestlers, this right now we're talking about wrestlers who had good years, bad years. So it's not about even their talent almost. But it's like I gave Jinder Mahal the number one.
Right.
I was like, yo, this guy, we watched a guy have the best year of his career. And was I right?
Right.
He's almost disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but it was the best year of his career.
Relatively.
Right.
I mean, that's guy doing something with nothing.
Right. Yeah, and I think, though, that it is a feel thing, and it is, though, it's for me, it's who gave me the sense that they're, or who's giving me the sense that, like, they have a mastery of this thing, and that they get it.
Right.
It's like, how much does this wrestler get it? That's, like, my... how I'm, like, ranking people.
Yeah. It is, like, an X factor thing. Everyone has, like, there's a million ways you could say the same thing.
Right.
But it's, like, an X thing. Yeah. Right? All right. So let's talk about my list.
All right.
Wrestlers who had, in my opinion, not great 2019s. Okay. Okay? Some of these wrestlers are some of my favorite wrestlers.
Got it.
Okay? I don't know how many caveats I got to give until we just start going. Yeah. All right. Well, I already said him. Matt Hardy. I already talked about him. Now, he's ending it on a bang. I don't know if people have seen this, but he's doing broken videos again.
Okay.
I don't know. He literally has a resurrection video where he buries himself. No, can you give me some waters?
Yeah, sure.
All right, thanks, bro.
Can you get me some Zanku chicken?
Want to get Zanku? No, she's taking a call as loud as he can while we're recording the pod. A consummate professional in every word. Ugh, looks good on you, though. All right, so, Matt Hardy. I mean, he just did nothing, you know, right? The broken gimmick didn't get going. Just had a kind of a nothing year. Jeff was gone. Him and they were doing a thing. You know, you get it.
Big fizzle.
Yeah, but luckily, awesome for him, you can go on YouTube and see he's doing broken stuff again, and he's wrestling as just like, Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy 1.0 in WWE now. Okay, so whatever. And Vince wants to book him in the fucking Jenkos, and then he can go do the cool shit on YouTube. Great. Seems like he has the blessings in WWE to do it.
Right.
Awesome. All right. Braun Strowman.
Mm.
What did he do this year?
He beat up Colin Jost.
Yeah, he beat up Colin Jost. It was the first thing I thought about.
He beat up Scarlett Johansson's boyfriend.
Yeah. I mean, Braun Strowman had kind of a nothing year, right?
Yeah.
I can't even think of a big match he had. He was supposed to, right? He was supposed to wrestle Brock for the title, and then they swapped in Finn, right?
Isn't that perplexing?
Right.
Like, how do you, because oftentimes you'll hear, oh, they just don't know what to do with him.
Right.
How could you not know what to do with him? Like, what? That's not, you know what I mean? Like, that's not even like they have that as an excuse for it.
They Strowman was white hot. They never figured out what to do with him last year.
How do you not know what to do
year,
with him?
This year, they didn't find anything to do with him. Nothing.
Here's what you do, and you're not going to like this.
No, what?
Well, maybe you will. Shave the beard.
Yeah.
Put him in trunks.
Right.
Baby face.
He already is a baby face, right?
Yeah, but shave the beard.
He definitely needs a look.
Put him in trunks.
He needs a spruce. He needs to probably go away for a little bit and then come back big. But
he needs to come back as like a fucking surfer, like country boy.
Right.
Clean shaven trunks.
He feuded with Lashley most of the year, I believe, and then he threw him through the Titantron, which was a cool moment, but that was when Paul Heyman's first day taking over or whatever. But that, I don't feel like that was him, you know what I mean? And then he busted through in his Lashley match. He like busted through that wall, and you know, it was fine. It's just a little, and then, you know, he broke apart the car. It, not a good year for him, and I'll parlay this into my next guy, which was Drew McIntyre, who I think like did some fine stuff, but in my head, it's another year wasted of a guy who could be doing top line stuff. Drew McIntyre, I would consider putting back in NXT.
Mm.
He had a nice little run in NXT as the champ, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Right? For a real hot second.
Yeah.
But he already is established as like a cool talent, even though he's the size of a WWE guy. Mm-hmm. I think he might be, and now NXT's on TV, he'd be a guy I consider dropping down to NXT. Vince will never let go of him. But I'm just saying, it's another year of like, he dropped to Roman at WrestleMania. I just think it just seems like a waste of a year for a guy who could be doing interesting shit.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess he had a nice run with Ziggler as the tag champs, but again, I don't.
But if it doesn't amount to anything, what does it matter?
It's kind of what I say, like, I don't log the tag titles in WWE mean nothing to me, personally. Like, I never know who has them. Even guys who are like are great tag guys, like Revival. I don't remember their tag runs, but I love Revival as a tag team. Revival got to go to AEW.
Yeah.
They'll be the kings of AEW.
Yeah.
They're like the perfect example of an AEW talent. Like those guys, Young Bucks, you throw them right into the mix with Pride and Powerful or whatever. Yeah. They're called Pride. They'll go right in there. And they want to leave, right?
I guess.
They always say they want to leave.
Yeah.
They had a cool match with New Day.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that they'll stay in WWE. I think that this is just me supposing, but I imagine that sort of being one of the boys at WWE, it means more to them than like being top guys on TV.
Right.
I think they're more part of that culture than leaving, you know?
All right.
That's just an assumption.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm getting worked.
Another wrestler who had a bad year. In my opinion, is Aleister Black.
Yeah, fair.
Right? I mean, like...
Still one of my guys.
Again, one of my guys.
Yeah.
Deeply one of my guys.
That's another one. How do you not know what to do with him?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're getting back on track. With his match with Buddy Murphy at TLC, it was a great match, I thought. And I think I get a sense they know what they have with him. They're just kind of waiting.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're trying to not blow it, but again, his promos didn't hit for either of us, and we're big fans, looking to give him the benefit of the doubt. And his whole thing of like picking a fight was not at all. We had like a more of a Sting idea for him, and their idea they had from him was like more of like a he's almost like a guy looking to pick fights in a bar, but he's in a black space, right?
Yeah. Or it almost seems, or it I keep getting this sense, like, it would only make sense if he is actually talking to somebody specific, but isn't naming them.
Right.
And the wrong people keep answering the call.
Right.
It's not Buddy Murphy. It's not, and eventually it'll be like, you're the one who I've been trying to come pick a fight with me. I've been talking to you specifically this whole time.
Yeah, any kind of Dr. Manhattanisms.
Right.
That would fit with his character.
Yeah.
You know? And by the way, if you haven't been watching Watchmen, I recommend it highly. It's a great show. It's great. I feel like it's blowing the minds of people who are not fans of the original Watchmen. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad was like, the show is brilliant. Because if you get your first exposure to these characters, like the ones I won't spoil anything because I know you're still watching, but like, Dr. Manhattan, I think, is the best character of anything ever. It's why I talk about him so much. I love it. It's just like a palatable idea, concept of time,
right?
It's like kind of just like, here's a simplified way to see that time is a construct or whatever, right? And they use him for that, right? So anyway, but Chebs was picking the show apart to me, and I was like, these are good points,
right?
You know, and I was like, those are good points. He still liked it, but anyway, check that out. Yeah, Aleister Black. Let's parlay that into an extreme example, which is like Mojo Rawley.
Right.
Guy's been able to get nothing off the ground.
Nothing.
And this whole cracked face gimmick is like
what is?
We don't even know what it is. This thing is so bad that I don't even blame him.
Right.
I'm like, they're not giving this guy a shot.
Yeah. And you can't really ask a guy like that to come up with his own, with a thing different than what he already had. Like, he already had, my gimmick is just me turned up to 11. And that was him being like hype beast Mojo Rawley. So why they would try to make him be something other than who he is, it seems a little crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. But
he already had a gimmick that was his gimmick.
Of like being like a motivational guy, like a
not motivational,
hype.
But it's like a hype. Yeah, like a hype beast. Just like a fucking bro hype beast.
We don't need to spend any time on Mojo Rawley.
Nope. Moving on.
Moving on. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did you think I could see someone arguing me here. He's the IC champ or whatever, but I just feel like he faded into to nothing really here. We're like, he started this thing with Sammy, which I think is arguably successful, but again, Shinsuke seems like such a cut and dry, I know what to do with him. Like, he needs to be weird.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he needs to be elusive and weird and, like, kind of dodgy or whatever. Like, where it's like they can't find him even. They find him. He's doing some kind of painting. I always say painting. I see him painting. But if you want, his gimmick is kind of all over the place. He has the IC title. Then they gave him the new IC title, which is, like, I love the way that title looks, but really, I saw a picture of Finn. They were doing a package on Finn on NXT, and he was rocking the old title, and you're like,
yeah, the white belt.
There was no reason to change that except for that Cody brought back the white strap.
Yeah.
So, and Cody's sick on Mike, and WWE's probably like, oh, look at that title that I designed.
Right.
But Shinsuke, I just think, you know, he, yeah. What, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was not a nothing year. We barely talked about him, you know?
Right.
Not one of my guys. This is probably why I'm hesitating. I'm like, he's some people's guys, but I also think strong style has not successfully translated over to WWE at all.
Because it can't.
It can't.
Right.
So
it's diametrically opposed.
Right. So then he's had a couple years to find it.
Right.
And he just has it. Okay. Here's another guy. This one, I think, is... Let's see. Who did I say? All right. Here's what might be one you disagree with. Kevin Owens.
Huh.
Okay?
Interesting.
This one, I think I might get some disagreement on. And I am welcome to it. But I don't think he was... First of all, injured for a lot of the year. Mm-hmm. I think he was supposed to wrestle Daniel Bryan at Mania. That didn't come together. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this face run... The stuff with Shane was good, but I don't think he's clicked into. I think it's a good start, but for a guy that caliber of talent, mm-hmm. I think he should have a better year.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that he has this gimmick in his hand right now. He has the stunner, he has the Stone Cold angle, and he has this family man, the working man routine. And I feel like during the Shane thing, it should have been the best thing going.
Right.
Now, I don't think it's all his fault, but I think it didn't fully click.
Yeah.
And for a guy, this is a guy who's one of my guys, Kevin Owens. Love him. Great talent.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was an underwhelming Kevin Owens year for me.
Yeah. I do,
which is still to say a good year.
I do still, I kind of do want to be like, I mean.
You might have liked it. The Shane stuff, I felt like his stunner really wasn't like popping the crowd in the beginning.
Right.
And it's a stunner.
Right. Oh, yeah, because it wasn't, he didn't, for a while, and even to this day, not executing it exactly right.
So there's that. I think also, The whole like Shane's fired thing, I just felt like they didn't establish the working man thing enough for me. You know, right. Like it's like that Kevin Owens like a dad. It's more what I want for him.
Kevin Owens got kids.
Yeah. It just was, you have to have these kind of years.
Right.
You're inevitably, I'm not even blaming him. You're going to have these years. You're going to have them. I expect big things for Kevin Owens in 2020.
Yeah.
Just if I had to put him there, it's a bad year for Kevin Owens, which is an amazing year for another lesser talent.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here's one. Alexa Bliss. I think she was injured.
See, yeah, I mean, if you're injured, though,
yeah.
Does that mean that you had a bad year? Like, doesn't that kind of, for me, I would think of someone else.
I think let's forget about the time she was injured. She was, you're going to fill that? All right. You were off. She was off the TV. But then she also did the little bit of bliss, all those segments.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like those were, I don't know. I just don't even remember them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think she's such a great mic talent. And I also think Alexa Bliss should always kind of be in the title picture.
Yeah.
And they just need to write her better. Whether it's, I always say the cattle prod thing.
Yeah.
I'm always like, she should have a fucking taser. Like, she should have more of an Edge style gimmick.
Yeah. I think they're trying to push her face.
Yeah.
Which is.
Towards the end, which is just a mistake.
Yeah, dumb.
I mean, it's worth a shot.
Sure.
Because it's like. It's like almost like the Rollins thing. It's like they're so good on the mic, but Alexa Bliss is better on mic than Becky Lynch.
Yes.
She's the best mic worker in the women's division.
Yes.
And probably including NXT as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
She's the best mic woman.
Right.
Right? So I just think thanks, dude. I forgot they had the machine.
We're low on our free water bottle inventory.
Okay. End of the year here, UCB cutting back.
Yeah.
That's, look, another decent year for Alexa Bliss, right? But She, again, and you can blame it on WWE. We don't need to get into the semantics here. But I just think when she's a high caliber talent. I expect her in there, in the mix. They should always be worried about Alexa Bliss. The biggest mistake they made was having her cash in on that same night. She's like the perfect. She needs to win Money in the Bank again. She needs to be holding that briefcase. Mm-hmm. She should. She is like, you want to see Alexa Bliss loom around with the briefcase. You know? That's it. I think another talent, I'm expecting big things in 2020. Alexa Bliss. Not my favorite Alexa Bliss year. Alexa Bliss, I would say, one of my guys.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. So that says a lot. Okay, ready? All right, another wrestler I didn't love the work they did this year. Carmella. It's just another talent. Yeah. Let's say like face Carmella, I'm just almost not even interested in at all.
No.
Dance break Carmella is not my bag at all. It's for kids, so whatever. But Carmella has, if you want, I want to remind you, Carmella also does some interesting stuff on mic.
She's
when
very
she's a
good.
Heel.
Yes.
And I felt like she was on the right track in 2018. And then kind of got pulled off entirely.
But curiously, yeah. R-Truth had a good year, I think.
R-Truth had a great year. And it's funny you say that, because we will get to the good list.
Yeah. But I think it's curious that they were paired up.
Yeah.
And one had a good year, one had a bad year. It's just interesting.
Yeah, but she didn't. Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of jokes. You could argue that like she was R-Truth straight man,
right,
and deserved some credit.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And then there's a lot of jokes where it would like she would call anyone who's blonde was like other Carmella and
yeah.
stuff. So she got those jokes. So whatever, we can have an argument there. But I like Carmella.
Yeah,
like I'm a fan of Carmella when she's.
But relatively speaking,
yes. I think she did some cool stuff. Oh, by the way, watching the Bunny, the Blade, and the Barber.
Yeah, something like that.
The Barber.
Candlestick Man.
I gotta tell you, I like the look of this faction.
Okay.
The Butcher.
Yeah.
I like the look. I feel like they look cool with Allie coming down. I know a lot of people gave them shit. Their debut was god awful. Anyway, we'll see where it goes. I don't know. All right, another bad year. The Undertaker.
Yeah.
They had a terrible, yeah, just to argue like a really bad year in wrestling. And oh, he's breaking kayfabe a lot.
Yeah.
So to wrestle poorly and then also break the character, not that I hated it. I watched his interview with Stone Cold. You know, whatever. I don't have much to say about that. I enjoyed the Goldberg one more that they played after TLC. Yeah, I mean, his matches were, first off, at Mania, where you want to see him, was non-existent.
Right.
Right? And his match with Goldberg was terrible. What other matches did he do?
Reigns, right? Or was that last year?
This year?
That was last year, right?
What do you mean, Mania?
Didn't he? No,
it was like 3
have,
years ago.
Oh, no. Who else did he have? I knew it's Saudi Arabia, right?
Yeah, they did. Oh, no. DX match.
Oh,
it's
right.
Saudi Arabia, right? Yeah. That match I still have yet to watch. Didn't hear anything good. So, yeah, whatever. You know, look, it's just not a good Undertaker year. I hope next year, I think I have my fingers fucking crossed.
Right.
Fiend, Taker, Mania, and then Taker, let Bray retire Taker and pass the mantle over to Bray. It's the perfect ending to your story, Taker, if you're listening, which I know you are.
Yeah.
No. It's the perfect ending to the Taker's career.
Yeah.
It's
because it also plays the Fiend's game, too. Like, he turns his opponents into, like, the best versions of themselves.
Yeah.
And it would be like the final crossover moment for the Undertaker.
I'm watching Cody enter on AEW. His entrance is so big.
Yeah.
I actually had the note about that when I was like, Cody, he shouldn't be playing the like 300 choir music, but right. Every time he enters,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like,
because it's epic all the time.
Yeah, that should be for the pay-per-views.
Yeah,
but man, I have almost no criticisms for Cody as a talent. So listen, Taker, yeah. Whatever. So that's the way to do it. Though I will bet, I would take the bet that we see Reigns, Fiend, they're both on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see Reigns Fiend with a pin Reigns beating Fiend at WrestleMania. I'm telling you, it is what we're going to see.
That, I mean, would be so, like, how? I don't know that they'll do that because they know that, like, it's just, they're going to make people boo a cancer survivor.
The only way they're going to do that, they're not going to do it, is if Taker says, I want that match.
Right.
But if Sting is willing to wrestle again, we will see Taker Sting. If that wants to happen, because that's like the dream match. That's the fucking, that's a money match more than Taker Fiend in terms of,
I mean, if you're Bray Wyatt, money, if like you're dollars. Bray Wyatt, why can't you be like, no, I'm not doing that match? What are they going to do?
I don't know the culture of WWE enough to know, but I know that doesn't happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? For the or you really got to be selective with that stuff.
Right.
And you don't fuck around with Mania matches. Like, you're on the card, you say thank you. Like, that's the culture. That's the vibe right. I get. Is that's how it goes. But and look, we'll start talking about this early next year, but I hope the road to WrestleMania begins January 1st and they start establishing all the matches. Right. All of them. The IC feud should be going from the end of January at the latest.
Right.
Right? If I see last minute Shinsuke the week of, they start booking IC matches.
Right.
It's no. No.
Shinsuke Nakamura versus Mojo Rawley for the Intercontinental on the pre-show of WrestleMania.
The pre-show, Corbin versus Dean Ambrose. Corbin versus Dean Ambrose was on the pre-show, WrestleMania 33, for the IC title.
Yeah.
Okay.
No respect.
Last wrestler I'm going to name for who I didn't have a great year, okay, is Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's
the first one who came to mind for me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a hot take because the match with Moxley is almost enough to say someone had a good year.
Yeah.
Match of the year candidate, I guess, depending on your style, right? Not my match of the year.
Right.
Match of the year for me is very obvious, is Cody Dustin, I think.
Yeah.
For me. Double or Nothing. So if you haven't seen that match, you probably don't listen to this podcast, but check that out. If you were not able to find that, I'll find it for you. Anyway, I'll give you my BR Live login. You can watch it. I bought Double or Nothing for $50. Okay.
I watched it in GIFs.
$50.
For free.
Anyway. But Kenny Omega, I think overall, this is his big coming out party in AEW.
Yeah.
This is his first time exposed to an U.S. audience. Mm-hmm. And again, we talk about this in length on the 9 to 5 episode, but I do think that a lot of us felt underwhelmed by his rolling out for his big U.S. debut. Now, I know it's cool, he's a company man and he's taking some L's and stuff, but again, the packaging does not feel like, when you turn on AEW, my dad, my friends who are watching AEW, none of them are like, this Kenny Omega guy's cool. No one is saying that.
No.
And they're talking about Cody, they're talking about Moxley to me, you know, because he was Dean. They're like, I like what Dean's up to. And they're talking about Jericho.
Right.
And I just think Kenny's got the talent, and I expect a big 2020 from Kenny Omega. I think this is by design in a lot of ways. But Kenny Omega is one of my guys. I just think that for an AEW coming out party, I don't think this was what I wanted to see personally.
Right.
And I think a lot of people would agree.
Yeah.
The music's not right. Even the outfit. I think the outfit he's been wearing is his worst outfit. And he always wears dope outfits. Anyway, so it's just not my favorite Kenny Omega year, especially with AEW coming out. I said it, you know, I have to think back. We do this every week.
Right.
I think back when they announced the AEW press conference, and I was like, that didn't go the way I wanted that to go. It was all, none of it was going the way I wanted it to go.
Right.
So that's where I put Kenny. That's my list of wrestlers this year who had just underwhelming years.
Right. Yeah.
Some of them, a lot of them, my guys.
I don't disagree with any of that.
Yeah.
I don't even think Kevin Owens. My wrestler, because I'm not trying to like.
Is this positive or negative?
This is positive.
Well, should we go to the positive?
You already said my negative one. Kenny Omega, I was going to be like the one who had the worst year.
Well, how about you? Let's talk about some other stuff, because we're going to end on the best of the year list.
Okay.
I'll let you roll it out.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say that so we can bookend it properly.
Okay.
My one pick for not the best year is Kenny Omega, for all the reasons we've elucidated.
Right.
From where he was to where he is now.
Yeah.
The steepest decline, in my opinion. He's my number one worst year.
And I would argue that this was inevitable in some ways. Is that like he's
Thanos?
He had that hype. Mm-hmm. Like, how's it Thanos?
Inevitable.
Oh yes, I am inevitable. I blocked that MCU shit out. By the way, another one of bad years. I am on edibles.
That would be a funny meme. That would be a funny meme.
I'm done with MCU.
MCU. Yeah, why?
And by the way, speaking of MCU, Kumail.
Yeah.
You were texting me about Kumail. Uh-huh. So Kumail Nanjiani revealed his new bod.
Yeah.
I'm friends with him. Mm-hmm. I'm friendly with him, okay? We've had great talks mainly about Batista.
Yeah.
Me at parties being like, "Yo, what's Batista's deal?"
Yeah.
My next question to him would be like, "Yo, what's your deal?" But Kumail looking fucking jacked, baby.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll have a run.
We were just talking about how there's no jacked Brown dudes. Then he comes out and ruins my whole premise.
Were you planning on being the jacked Brown guy?
No, I wasn't. We were talking about how Newman Googled jacked Brown dude jacked in studio. Indian and man. He was like, I had to scroll down a page, to be honest.
Yeah. But I'll say this about first off, Kumail is the man.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm sure he's a great guy.
He's the man. He's a nice guy too. I've had great combos with him. But I'm saying he's the man for getting jacked.
Oh yeah, no.
Middleditch came on the pod here and said that I think he said on the podcast that like Kumail was getting jacked on Silicon Valley set and they had to cover him up because he was supposed to be a nerd.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's. Did he say that when he was in here?
I don't know. That was a while ago.
Did he tell me that off air?
That might have been.
I don't know. I don't think that's like a secret, right?
No.
Okay.
You can tell he was getting jacked on the show, though.
And also, so I've worked out in the gym with Kumail, and I've seen him work out with his trainer.
Yeah.
And he's always. He was always at the time. Now I think I at the time he was stronger than me.
Yeah.
Now I'm stronger than I was then.
Right.
So I'm curious where we stack now, not to be annoyingly competitive. I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm saying that he was stronger than me. So this has been a long time in the works.
Sure.
The guy fucking works hard.
Yeah.
So then once you get on that, the Marvel.
The studio program.
I mean, the studio is like, gives you a trainer and everything, right?
They give you a lot of things. They give you a doctor who measures certain hormones in your body, decides that they're too low, prescribes you those hormones to take, and those hormones may or may not increase.
You think he juiced up?
Yes. I mean, here's where I need to make...
If I get cast as fucking like Ant-Man's sidekick, like Ant-Man's release, what would be the lowest thing? The lowest thing I could be in the MCU, which would be like...
Ant-Man's pizza guy.
I'm juicing.
For a two-second spot, you'd be in like, where is this guy?
I'm not even talking about Kumail. He probably didn't.
Right.
Okay? He probably didn't. My point is that he's always been a dude who's like working on himself.
Here's what I need to make the point, though.
Right.
Is that when I say that I think that he juiced, I don't mean that I think he got fucking bull shark testosterone from some guy in an alley.
No.
Right?
The way The Rock does it. Like,
it's hormone replacement therapy.
They check your levels. He's like, we'll 41. Get you a little bit of this.
Yeah. He's 41 years old. Disney definitely has doctors who are like...
Is he 41?
Yeah. Who are like, okay, well, technically your testosterone level is kind of low, so we're going to prescribe you testosterone and all these other estrogen regulators.
Yeah.
And this is steroids.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they are. And so that's what he did. It's legal.
All right.
But that's what he clearly did.
I also like how he said, if I didn't have these resources, it would be impossible, because the studio gives you a schedule. They give you the bandwidth to do that.
Right.
We don't have the time to.
No.
Take a year. Don't do anything except work out and get jacked. You're getting paid to do that.
And also be on hormone replacement therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, I, I think.
But again, get juiced. Like, do steroids.
Yeah.
But you should.
Right.
You look amazing when you do that.
Right.
But if it's prescribed by your doctor because your testosterone levels are low, that's still steroids.
Yeah. Sure. Look. Anyway, I'm all for it, and I think it's the right time to do it. I saw Alec Baldwin say one time, he's like, "Put your best self on film."
Yeah.
You know, you only live once. It's like, why not? You know, I don't know what he's doing. If you had gun to my head, I'm saying he's not doing that. But your gun to your head, you say yes.
Yes.
I just think.
I don't think it's his choice. Right. There's too much money riding on these guys looking good. Stanger was in this podcast studio saying that Chris Evans does what we're talking about.
Right.
Henry Cavill does it. It's not their choice. Even if they're falling down between takes because they're so juiced up, it doesn't matter. It's for the project.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their choice.
Right.
Doctor says your testosterone levels are low. Here's testosterone. Now you're juicing.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. Anyway, so you heard it here first. No, nothing. but congrats. More point.
I mean,
he's one of my guys now. Yeah.
Yeah.
More point. What we care about here is a fellow comedian looking jacked up and dope, which is what I love. So anyway, what were we just talking about before we went to Kumail?
I don't know. Also. Just speculation on my part.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's not an accusation. It's speculation. Baby.
Okay. Speculation. Baby. I'm curious why I even went into that. All right, whatever. It doesn't matter. All right, let's talk. I want to talk about, I want to run something by you. So a couple of gems on the network. If you're on holiday, you have some downtime, you've already listened to the 9 to 5 because obviously you're a patron. The WWE Network has a lot of cool shit on it.
Yeah.
They have not figured out... The WWE Network is in my opinion, a mess.
Uh-huh. Unusable.
Yeah, because the layout is...
I got some live news.
What?
Donald Trump has been impeached.
Well, yeah.
Really?
But he's not going to get convicted.
No, of course. No. But that's pretty big.
We knew he was going to get impeached, right?
Pretty big.
Oh, all right. Anyway. Yeah. okay. Anyway. You heard it here. Probably second, actually.
Yeah, well,
probably the second time. I would say this is actually the second time you've heard about this.
At least.
So, but the WWE Network, I absolutely love. It is. I think it's a fucking calling it a mess is just because I actually love it. Right. But, there's such great shit on there. I just think the layout of it is just no fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's you go originals. Especially if it was using my computer. You got to scroll down.
Yeah.
Stuff that has current content in it is mixed in with things that's new. It's just not like fun. Again, if WWE is listening, I would love. WWE Network should open up. Probably, I would put Backstage just playing.
Yeah.
The section you turn it on, it's Backstage. Right now, there's people are gonna be, oh, it's part of Fox, whatever, something like that. Renee being like interviewing Rollins, like you should be able to just press the network and you're watching content.
Right.
And then it should be you navigate around it to watch things you want. Now, it doesn't have to be things that are spoilers, but there's nuance to gauging that. Okay. So a couple things that are cool in there. Sometimes when I'm writing, I want to just put on something that I don't have to like pay deep attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put on something like on the network, you know, and I'll just see like I like wrestling because it's kind of even if I put the sound super low, I get like a little bit of a visual.
Right.
It's good. It keeps me company. Really.
Right, right, right.
So I was doing a bunch of writing and I put on WWE Untold.
Uh-huh.
New. I think it's a new series. I don't know.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I happen to click on it. It's part of my beef with the network. But anyway. I ended up watching, like, I think all of them. They have one for Sting's comeback and Rollins hurting him. It's really good. They have one for Kane's debut and slash the Bad Blood first ever Hell in a Cell with Taker and Shawn Michaels.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where Kane debuts. So it talks about that. Very well done. Nothing can stand with wrestling in package form.
No.
Wrestling docuseries and everything makes wrestling feel so fucking important and amazing.
Yeah.
Sometimes don't even just put on the match. Like if they have like Hell in a Cell Taker or whatever, they have one on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so good. It's like Mick talking about like him, how it felt to fall off the cage, mixed in with the footage. The storytelling on it is great. They do amazing work over there. There's one, Untold, there's one about Team Hell No. There's one about Angle throwing Shane through the glass at King of the Ring. Yeah. That's great. You like relive it through Shane interview and Angle. The ref is, I think it's Mike Chioda, is talking about, he's just talking about how Vince was like being like, stop this match, and they just wouldn't stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like watching his kid get ripped up. Great. So check out all those. Those are all fun. I ended up watching them and being distracted by them. They're great. Sting and Rollins is talking about the these are the things it's hard to explain to people, but the pride of pushing through matches when you're devastatingly injured.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Also, the 24s are some of the best stuff they make on WWE Network.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I watched Batista 24, which I apparently had started but didn't finish. Great insight into the mind of Batista. What a likable guy. And Big the Ronda Dave. Rousey 24, also great. So this is all content that I recommend if you're over the Christmas break. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about AEW for a second. Right. And then we'll get into NXT. And then we'll get into TLC. You cannot compete with the AEW crowds. They're so fucking hot.
Right.
Full Sail is hot, yes. Right? I'm not saying Full Sail crowd is really fun. But AEW right now, they're in these smaller arenas, right? I don't think even the viewers will even notice they're smaller. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Because they're still arenas, and they just don't have second level sometimes.
Right.
So they're still like, what? I would say 8,000 to 10,000 person arenas.
Probably, yeah.
Right? But the crowds are so fucking into it. Like last week's NXT AEW, it's not on right now, but I'm watching AEW right now. But when Luchasaurus was out there, and when Jericho was out there, and Moxley was out there, these crowds are so hot.
Yeah,
and it makes the product infinitely better.
They play along,
right?
Yeah,
and WWE's crowds don't play along.
No. Because the crowds feel, at WWE, feel betrayed.
Right.
By WWE. So they're always on the lookout. They're looking, judging. Am I going to like this? Am I not? I'm going right. to boo. They like to boo to right. like be heard.
And I thought the TLC crowd was kind of a little, they were good at times, all of the, you know? And then when you pop on AEW, you're like, wow, this is like steam, man. This shit's fire.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about the content. We could argue about the content all day. There's good arguments against AEW.
Right.
And it's not even a battle. We're not even competing. I'm just saying that trust is still going hot. So whatever you're seeing, I feel like people, everyone wants to post negative stuff. They want right. to show empty seats and whatnot.
But that was bullshit. That was hard cam. That was like.
Right.
I've been to a few SmackDowns in that area.
Right.
And there's nobody there.
Everybody, it's clickbait, right? Right. All these like, oh, this show's not selling.
Yeah.
I don't need to, no. I don't even care the number of people there. They're going apeshit.
Right.
And I see it. So that's great. MJF was getting so much heat in his promo.
See, but that's my problem with that type of, so not a problem. I don't have a problem with that type of crowd.
Right.
But it makes me wonder. I've asked this question on the pod before.
Right.
Is there such thing as a good audience? And is a good audience one that cheers who they're supposed to cheer and boos who they're supposed to boo, rather than voices their own opinion in an attempt to change what they're watching? Like, what's the better wrestling
crowd?
I
think it's debatable. I don't know if there's right. I think it's part of the beauty of pro wrestling right. is that the audience, the crowd is so involved that they choose. So you can make an argument for WWE, which is their crowd is like, when Bray's here, we'll go nuts.
Right.
When you give us good stuff. And then you can make the argument that, oh, well, and WWE crowds, sometimes they have to resort to the kind of heat that I don't dig, right. which is the Corbin heat.
Right.
Where it's like, you give he's getting a reaction. Fine, but it's also at the expense of me,
right?
Who's watching? Who's the Corbin stuff is frankly like insulting at this point. I mean, let's compare just for a second. let's compare the Baron Corbin heat to the MJF heat. Okay. Baron Corbin, okay, comes out and has a dog costume.
Right.
Because Roman Reigns is the big dog. Now, Roman Reigns has had cancer. There's tons, right? Mm-hmm. Not that we should necessarily touch that. I'm just saying the reality of it. They're making fun of him because he calls himself a dog.
Yeah.
But we know in real life he's had some actual struggles.
Yeah.
They don't want to touch that, whatever. But MJF came out, ripped on Cody's lisp.
Right.
I'm going to respond to that more.
Sure.
I'm not saying that you should be touching someone's illnesses. It's right. I'm just giving you an example. You have a guy who's pretending to be a king for truly no reason, and then he has a loyalty from Ziggler and Rude for why, I don't know, and they're making fun of him for being a dog, not even mentioning the fact that Reigns is pushed more than anybody else, that he gets to wear more clothing than the other wrestlers. Like, there's actual things to rip on him about.
Right.
That he's Vince's boy.
That would be so funny if his beef with him was that he gets to wear more clothes.
I'd be into it. I'd be into it.
Look at this. We got Bobby Roode. We got Robert Roode in underwear. You have a jumpsuit on.
But like when you have MJF, the sweet spot of wrestling is shoot, right?
Right.
So you have MJF being like, fire me. Oh, you can't fire me because I'm the only entertaining guy on the show or something. That's the kind of stuff he's saying. You're right. Like, that stuff I'm going to respond to more.
Bar's pretty low, by the way.
Yes. The bar is, look, your arguments against MJF's promos, which we covered in 9 to 5, I believe. Are good. There's good legitimate. It's not like he's doing 10 out of 10 work, in my opinion.
No, he's doing 10 out of 10 work.
Right.
But at a level that is so far beneath him that I'm not just not impressed.
Yes, his talent is higher than he's performing, but he's young. Okay, but that's what I'm saying. So I just want to say that. So I think that's great. Now I want to give I want to give out a match of the week.
Oh, okay.
And it's NXT. Check out Angel Garza versus Lio Rush.
Yeah,
they open up NXT last week. Fire. I have a big announcement right now, which is that.
Wait, are you about to?
No.
Okay.
I'm not about to do the full wad.
Okay.
But I got two guys on my watch list.
Okay.
I got two wrestlers right now.
We need to drop for the watch list.
We need. Who watches the watch list?
Yeah.
We got two wrestlers who are on my list of guys who have potential to be one of my guys. Well, I'm keeping an eye on guys.
Right.
Remember, like when Shebs was keeping an eye, he put Damian Priest. He was like, I'm keeping an eye on this guy. And then he pulled the trigger.
Right.
Two guys. One guy, Angel Garza.
Yeah.
A lot of potential to be one of my guys. I'm liking a lot of what he does. He's a gorgeous man.
Uh-huh.
I love his in-ring. I love the pants gimmick. Uh-huh. We'll see where he goes. It's early.
Right.
But he's on one of my guys' watch. Okay? And the other guy is Buddy Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy Murphy is on one of my guys' watch. Now, it's going to require an outfit change.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But this guy can fucking go.
Oh, yeah.
And he is jacked.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
I think the sky's the limit for Buddy Murphy if they could figure out what he is.
Yeah.
What
I mean, he's definitely more than 205, right?
Yes.
210?
He cut a bunch of weight to join 205. That was the whole gimmick he did.
Right.
But he weighs more than 205, no question.
Yeah. What do you think? Like 215?
And if he does, he weighs exactly 205, which, by the way, is huge.
Yeah.
If you are like a lean 205, that guy's size, but there's no way. He has way too much muscle mass. He weighs 220 probably.
Oh, okay,
and he's pretty tall. I think he's like 6 foot. He's not
Is
small.
Aleister Black just taller? Like that much
taller? Yeah, Aleister Black's like 6'2". I think Buddy Murphy's like 6 foot.
Okay.
There's a guess.
I'm going to look this up.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to tell me his shoot weight, his shoot height. Or
well, whatever. Let's see what he's billed at. It has to be close to normal. So going into 2020, the two guys for me who are on one of my guys' watch is Angel Garza.
5'11", they say.
Yeah, all right. So that's 6 foot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so Buddy Murphy, he probably weighs
5'10".
He's fucking huge. If he weighs 205.
I'm 5'10".
Yeah.
So I'm like 5'10", 180, but I'm built like bullshit.
Right.
Easily.
He could
be 205.
He might be exactly 205.
Yeah.
But that's him being super lean.
Right.
He could walk around at 220 easy.
Easy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Same.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But yeah. And you look exactly the same. Shayna Baszler, who I gave a, I'm not, is definitely not one of my guys, Shayna Baszler.
Right.
I see she's important. I just want to say, Shayna Baszler, they gave her this tap. She says tap, nap, snap.
Yeah.
I'm into it. It's fine. I think this promo of her with the cars, I kind of dug. Do you see that video? Anything would give her a little more specificity, I would dig. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah. She is one of my guys.
She is one of your guys.
Yes.
She choked
Candice LeRae out and used, and like the story was like Candice was like hurting her arm or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she couldn't lock in the sleeper.
Yeah.
And she grabbed her own hair. Mm-hmm. And use that for leverage to choke out Candice LeRae. That was the moment.
That was cool. They posted that video of like her blaming it on a Candice LeRae fan.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. There's just she doesn't feel I watched Ronda Rousey 24.
Yeah.
And she's like, if you watch it, Shayna Baszler is like a full-on WWE fanboy at the time.
Yeah.
And it does not help her threat levels.
Yeah.
But again, that's because when you're locked into the gimmick of the tough guy gimmick, you know, the you have to, you know, it screws you a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you have to be like Brock. Like, Brock is so shoot that guy.
Confirmed.
Even if you see Brock. Yeah. If you saw Brock, like, joking around, like, there's nothing he could do that, you know, he's just in a good mood. You know what I mean?
You know what I love is those pictures. Have you seen the pictures of him at that diner? He goes hunting, and there's like this little tiny diner that he goes to every time.
He's like with the two ladies, and he's wearing like a fucking fedora.
I love that. I love that, Brock.
I love that, Brock.
Because
you can even see that, Brock, because you know Brock is what he is. That doesn't even hurt him.
No.
All right, let's move on to TLC for a little bit, because I got a couple things to say. I want to talk immediately about Sweater Bray Wrestling.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts, or you like me to go?
I have thoughts.
Yeah. I'll let you go first.
It's very brief.
Yeah.
I would have done this match differently.
Yeah.
To say the least. What I would have changed was I think it should have been a squash. And I think Miz should have just squashed him. And then have Daniel Bryan come out.
Right.
I understand that Daniel Bryan's a face, so you want the Fiend to be victorious so that the face is blah, 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 whatever.
You mean American Dragon.
American Dragon.
Yeah. Do you think we get that leather jacket again? I hope so.
I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan is so one of my guys he's so deeply in the one of my guys zone that I'll pop so hard for that leather jacket. And also, by the way, people, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm talking about the maroon leather jacket with the white dragon. Vince hates that fucking jacket. So there's I don't know where I saw this, but he came out with that jacket on once.
Yeah.
I think he wore it to Mania or something. And then I don't think he wore it again. Vince was like, get rid of this fucking jacket. And so if he wears it, we know Vince hates it.
Yeah. Right. No, but I think I would have had it be make the Bray, Sweater Bray.
Yeah.
Just make him as weak as the Fiend is strong.
Okay.
That's what I would have changed.
So you want it to be a squash where like Miz beats him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You wanted Bray. Well, I think that. I don't know if I need that. I would, if that happened, I would have popped for it.
Yeah.
But what they did, because I think what they did didn't work.
Right.
So, like, what did work is Bray was super over. Seeing him coming out of Sweater Bray was dope.
Yeah.
Seeing him waving at the crowd, he's having a great time. But I think, and I'm saying I think because it didn't read, is I think they were going for that he goes back and forth from being like Sweater Bray and like angry Fiend style when he's Bray. Like he can't control himself and he would get angry at moments, but it didn't read.
Exactly.
Like it was like Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or something, right? Right. Where he's kind of like smiling until you like, then they shoot at him and then he switches his face.
Yeah.
And I just think like it didn't work.
No, it could be simpler.
Yeah, it needed to be. And it's hard to do that kind of nuanced thing in wrestling. It's like, it's struggle. But if you want to do that, the match needs to be way more planned out.
Right.
It shouldn't have just been a regular match. It was sloppy. The ending was really sloppy, dude. Daniel Bryan literally like had that moment of like, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just do yes chants.
Right.
And I think Daniel Bryan needs to be more selective with the yes chant also.
You know he's not.
He's not going to. No. He just loves to just do it. Who cares? Daniel Bryan look awesome with the shaved head.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah.
he's so good.
He looked like fucking 15 years younger.
Yeah. He's just the man. But yeah, I think you just said, I think you said my exact point.
It's because it was, it's correct.
Yeah. All right, I want to talk about Lashley Rusev. Okay. I got to say, I like this TMZ package thing.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
I'm like, if you're going to do the thing, do it. Like, WWE produced that. I think that's cool. I think I would have... I don't like this storyline because I think it's lowbrow.
How great of an idea is that? What? For there to be like a TMZ show, but it's about WWE, but it's shot the exact same way. There's like a producer, or there's like an editor, and all the writers, and they're pitching stuff. It's like, Batista's been really horny on Twitter recently, and he's been hitting on Dana Brooke, and then like everybody chops that up.
The sky's the limit with that, by the way. I mean, yeah, of course. There should be more stuff like that. That's what I like. Backstage could do stuff like that. It's just, if it wasn't, I don't know. Backstage is frustrating to me.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea, but I'm only watching that when I hear Punk's on.
Right.
You know?
Oh, is he not on every episode?
No. Okay.
Stupid.
Anyway, stupid. But I don't like that Lana, but I mean, you gotta appreciate the continuity. Like,
yeah, at least it was a story with an arc.
Yeah. And then on Monday they got engaged.
Yeah.
And Lana initiated it.
Are they really are they divorced?
Well, the fact that you're asking that is cool, kind of cool, right?
Yeah,
they're not. No.
No, okay.
No, they're just doing it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They must have an arrangement, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think that marriage is a little
I don't know. I just don't know. Why not just keep Rusev with Lana? Like, I guess it's fine, but it's like, I don't know. To be honest, Rusev, I don't know what to do with Rusev. If I was booking WWE, I wouldn't really know what to do with him either. He's great, but like, I wouldn't know he doesn't nail promo.
Right.
He doesn't totally nail it. He is big dude, but I think he really works as...
I think he does nail promos a lot, though. Like, with the hot boyfriend. Like, all that stuff. And
it's
like,
funny, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's funny, but it's... I don't know. Rusev's just not one of my guys. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, sometimes he does stuff I like, but it always, like, resets. I'm never in Rusev mode since the tank.
Right. So, what you're saying is...
And Rusev Day did nothing for me.
What you're saying is Rusev Putria.
Rusev...
Machka?
Not Machka?
Machka? Not one of my Machkas?
My guy? But anyway, New Day versus Revival was fun. It was a pretty brutal match. Mm-hmm. I dug that. I'm always into Revival. And then Alistair versus Buddy Murphy, I dug. I said that. Alistair, by the way, talking about gear, not his best gear.
No, what was it, green?
The green, it didn't look good. I don't mind the risk. Get like a black mass on his ass.
Yeah.
I didn't. It was like green. It just didn't look good.
What I do
it
like
didn't make him look what he needs to look like.
What I do like though, what he's doing is it's obvious to me that there's more character work in his style now. Like he's doing sort of that taker. Like I'm going to be like methodical until like moving fast.
Yeah.
But then when he's like getting up or getting back in the ring, he's sort of just like walking slowly and just like always going after the person.
Yeah.
That's new. That's not something he was doing before.
Wait, so what does he do?
He's sort of, his posture has changed.
I'm trying to
picture it. His posture has changed in the ring, right? So he gets in and he's more like looking down.
Right.
Like he has like his shoulders rounded out. And he's doing like the slow walk over to pick people up, like an Undertaker style where everything's slow until he's like moving fast.
Right. And then he gets into more of the kickboxing mode.
That's new.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that he's obviously like thinking about his, like how to bring a character to a style.
Listen, WWE is going to be, they're going to be in trouble if they don't figure out a way to get these talents. They don't let them get to the like next level.
Right.
Like these guys, like Aleister Black needs a good story and stuff. Like,
well, I think we've talked about it on, it's what happens. Corporations that have a product are more concerned about continuity of product.
Right.
Like this, every bottle of Snapple you get tastes exactly the same as the last bottle of Snapple of that flavor. Every match, every episode, every wrestler has to hit you WWE product.
Right.
And they can't therefore stand out because that's not non-conforming product.
It's kind of like what Arlen says of why Netflix is so dominant.
Right.
Is because like even Disney Plus, it's out, it's cool, but it's the Disney brand or whatever.
Right.
Netflix make whatever, man. They make The Irishman and Marriage Story.
Right.
Like, and you know what I mean? Like they got anything. They don't have a like a brand. that kind of freedom to make, to be like, we're just TV.
Right.
It's kind of what I feel like WWE, it's like, oh, here's what we do. And then they're locked into just Vince's, whatever. Everyone knows all this. But I think we're really hitting a zone where it's like Cena, like if you think about the year in review, like Cena's gone.
Right.
Taker's pretty much on his way out. Goldberg is like, how many more squash Goldberg things can we do?
Yeah.
There's a big gap from these top guys lower, and probably Edge will win the Rumble. Ugh. Right? So
a Shonda.
Yeah. A Shonda Larry. And we have NXT. These guys have proven they can get over, they get heat. Yeah. I don't know. We think about going to 2020. They need to start pushing some of these guys. Some of them are not even that young.
No.
You know?
No.
Like Shayna Baszler is 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know that. So, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Anyway, let's get into... last thing I want to say is the women's TLC match I really dug. Kairi Sane got hurt.
Yeah.
It was a sloppy match in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
There were times where it was like kind of like look away style.
Yeah.
Where it looked fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it. I mean, the Kabuki Warriors are no joke. They're awesome. They're without competition when it comes to female wrestling tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the Iconics, right?
Right. Yeah, honestly.
They did nothing to build out the women's tag team division the whole year again.
Sasha Banks told me that there was a women's revolution.
Oh, what'd she say?
She's been talking about it this whole time. Right?
Oh, do you mean about the tag match? Oh, yeah. You mean it's just in general?
Yeah,
you're talking about just the whole women's... I thought you were talking about the tags.
No, I'm saying hasn't... You're right. Like, they keep not... They keep telling us about how the women's revolution has happened and that the women's wrestling is...
Right.
But then we get 2 minutes of it ever. When it's happening, it's great.
Well, they get...
But they never build it out. They don't give it what it's due, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's interesting because Asuka is now in the best zone she's ever been in my opinion.
Right.
I think she had to lose that streak and then kind of rebuild and like find a character more.
Yeah.
And now she feels like she's more authentic, like let's call it Kana. That's what she was outside of it with the face paint. And I feel like she's not cutting English promos for no reason where she's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think she's found a zone where it's like, I don't think Shinsuke has found it.
Yeah.
Now I want to see her as a singles competitor, but she has this great tag team going.
Yeah.
But then there's, what are these tag matches? Is Charlotte and Becky?
Yeah.
Like when the pay-per-view ended, I was like, that was the main event?
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
You know?
I do think that they should mega powers Becky and Charlotte eventually, but it's going to take the right...
You need a division.
Yeah, exactly.
WB just is, they're not doing tag team wrestling well. Anyway, I'm watching this. Oh, whoa. Jericho, sick. Oh, wow. Jericho versus Jungle Boy. See if it'll last 10 minutes. I won't spoil in case you've listened to this and you haven't, but that was cool. Anyway, so let's go into my best of the year list.
All right.
I was going to talk more about Corbin. I talk a lot about Corbin in the 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I'll say this in summary. Baron Corbin makes me an AEW fan. So the amount of airtime this guy gets that he doesn't deserve, it's frankly unfair and it's wrong to your talent. He does not deserve the airtime he gets. I don't care what heat he gets.
You feel about Baron Corbin the way that many people feel about Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Roman Reigns has earned it so much more than Corbin in my head.
Right.
You know what I mean? But anyway, it's arguable.
Right.
But okay, let's talk about best of the year. Right. Let's be positive and let's end. I want to make sure we end this right.
Yeah.
All right. So let's end this thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about my best wrestlers who had the best 2019s, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And this one I'm putting in top 10 form.
Got it.
Newman, you wanted to say yours before I even go. And I won't comment if they're on the list or anything, but let's start it off with yours.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, obviously I didn't do a list. It's just sort of like when I gut reaction, first thing that pops in my head, I think this wrestler had the best year of his career. I think he had the best 2019 out of any other wrestler. You might be surprised to find out that this is Orange Cassidy of AEW.
Yeah,
from where he was in the beginning of the year, you know, very popular in the indie scene, but relatively unknown, to being on television, to being one of those wrestlers who pokes through the mainstream because his gimmick is so funny and so unique.
He arguably got over the most.
He's the second most over guy.
Jump this year.
Yeah.
It might have been him.
He's the second most over guy in in AEW.
Right.
And the other guy is the guy who fucking runs the place, Cody Rhodes.
Right.
Everyone I show Orange Cassidy to, non-fan,
thinks it's funny.
Thinks it's great.
Yeah.
He's got nowhere but up to go, even from here.
And it's very unique. It's not like, it's not even like a rehash of anything else.
Exactly. So I think he's got nowhere up to go, even from here. Sky's the limit, but he's my pick for best year in wrestling.
All right, great. That's what, and was not on my list, so I'm glad you brought that up. Didn't make the lexicon of Dan Blackercon.
Yeah.
All right, I got two honorable mentions before we get into the top 10.
Ons men's.
Two wrestlers who had amazing years, okay? We're talking about, number one, R-Truth, who you mentioned.
Yes, yes.
This guy got the 24/7 title over, no question.
Yeah.
And was leveraging social media in an incredible way, staying in the lane that he does best and nailing it.
Yeah.
Right? Which a lot of times can lead to gold. It's just doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he did a great job. 24/7 title, which is like a bit of, it debuted, it was super jabroni. He made it crazy relevant.
Yeah.
And him alone. Okay? Maybe with Drake Maverick, but it was mainly him. Okay.
Someone posted that clip of R-Truth running out in the Rumble and putting up the ladder and climbing up to get the belt that was, because he thought it was a ladder match.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? It's like been making the rounds again online. Yeah, there was a Rumble and he comes running out and he grabs a ladder from under the ring and puts it up in the middle of the ring and then starts to climb and there's no belt there when he gets up and he realizes that it's the wrong type of match.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That shit's hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect place for it. He made it successful, something that people were super down on when it debuted. All right, other honorable mention. Darby Allin. Okay, now, the reason I say Darby Allin, this is a guy who I knew nothing about, similar to the Orange Cassidy thing.
Yeah.
And I think is a dude where everyone's like, look at this fucking guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he had a great year. I never heard of him, to be honest. And he came out and I was like, you know what? Whenever he's on screen, I'm watching the guy. I think his gimmick is very clear.
Yeah.
He's a gimmick wrestler. Got over. And you know what you're going to get out of him. And then he keeps surprising. Good wrestler. Nice. Great year for him.
Nice.
His match with Jericho was, it made my dad call me. Yeah. Okay. All right. You ready to get the top 10 list? All right. Starting at number 10. Wrestlers had great years. Seth Rollins at number 10. He's got to go at the highest he can go. Because if you think about it, he beat the shit. He got to beat Brock Lesnar two times this year. Who's doing that?
Okay.
Who's doing that? At WrestleMania.
I mean, that's booking, though.
It's booking, but it is earned.
Okay.
Someone had to be chosen as the guy.
We're being positive.
He won the Royal Rumble. So look, booking factors in a little bit. Again, we talk about this in 9 to 5 also. Like there, it's like, how much does booking matter? Blah, blah, blah. Yes, it does. This and this. But I think that Seth Rollins was the chosen guy to get this. Reigns had the same fate of beating the guy who beat Brock Lesnar. And then it's always been Rollins. So he had some struggle with the fans at the end here, but then he's turning heel. He's not ending on the highest note for the year, but we're talking about as a year as a whole, won the Royal Rumble. You know, he has a Rumble win under his belt. He won the Royal Rumble super over, went in, beat Lesnar at WrestleMania, and then beat him again at SummerSlam. Right. Just, he's Seth Rollins. He's solidified, okay? Yeah. He matters.
Right.
I just think he matters. Whether you like him or you hate him.
Got it.
Okay. That's why I put him at 10. It's the highest up he could go.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9. John Moxley / Dean Ambrose.
All right.
I think this guy, what do I need to say?
Yeah.
I mean, from going on, breaking the work shoot barrier to go on there, talk shit about WWE and and reinvent himself in WWE, get jacked up, believe in himself.
Yeah.
Not one of my guys, but had a great year. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, if he keeps this up, could even move up on the 2020 list. Has the potential to do some great things next year.
Yeah.
He's positioned well, where Rollins is also positioned well, honestly, because of this heel run. But if he stayed face, was positioned not well.
No, no.
Mm-hmm. All right. Number 8. Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, man.
He had more of a subdued year, if you want to think about in terms of booking, because he lost a lot. Right? But he put Kofi over, you know? He without my computer's gonna die. I gotta bring this up on my phone. But we've seen accounts with Kofi Mania wouldn't happen without Daniel Bryan. Right. Daniel Bryan set that up. He came in hot with the eco-friendly gimmick, and then has already reinvented himself a short couple of months later, going face. We're all pumped for Daniel Bryan. Just a great year. His match put Adam Cole over. He had a very giving
Michael
year.
Adam Cole.
Yeah, yeah. I said it right.
My brain said Michael Cole when he said that.
Yeah. But he had a very giving year in pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And I just think that, again, we're talking about booking. Technically, his booking wasn't, he didn't do that well.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Match, and so Daniel Bryan, great.
So, but in this
year.
Case, booking doesn't factor in.
That's what I'm saying.
So sometimes it does.
It's, yeah. And I think that that's what's tricky. It's a scripted. It's scripted, right?
Right.
It's more about the
see, I don't think booking should matter
you
at all.
You think it doesn't?
No.
I think sometimes it does.
All right.
Sometimes it does.
It can't count against you, perhaps.
Right.
But it can count for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. Number 7.
All right.
Adam Cole, baby.
Baby.
Adam Cole had a killer year. He's kicking off as the NXT champion, kicking off the year as the champion. He is chosen as the helm of the NXT brand right now. Mm-hmm. He is killing it. I think that I think that his match with Daniel Bryan on SmackDown showed that he can get over big. Great year for, you know, this is a place you want to be.
Yeah.
Number 6, Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah.
She had a great year. She headlined WrestleMania. She went out. But man, if you want to watch Ronda Rousey's 24, if you want to be reminded of what a great year she had.
Well, isn't it? Well, aren't you referring to
this WrestleMania year?
Yeah.
No, I meant 2019.
So, yeah, but no, but it would be 2018 was Ronda's year because it led into.
Well, yeah, but she
did not have a year this year. She was gone since April. No year.
You don't count it?
No. She had 4 months.
She headlined the WrestleMania.
She had 4 months. I mean, it's your list.
She wrestled Sasha Banks at the Rumble. I just think she had a great year.
All right.
Leading up to, okay, we can, all right, whatever, semantics. All right. Okay, we can take her off, whatever.
No, asterisks, that's all.
Yeah, okay, fine. Number 5, Bray Wyatt.
All right.
Do I need to say anything?
Now we're talking, no.
Bray Wyatt. Number 4, Chris Jericho.
I'm surprised he's not number 1.
Oh, yeah, look, this is an elite list here.
Yeah.
But I got to go Chris Jericho in number 4 spot. He was at the number 1, I will be honest.
Yeah.
Leading up AEW, what can you say? He got dropped down, though. Sorry.
That's fine. I'm just saying he's good enough to be number 1, but I understand.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Kofi Kingston.
Oh, man. Who's number 2
big,
and 1?
Big year for Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
But again, not an explanation needed.
No.
Kofi Kingston.
Kofi Mania.
The best year of his career.
Yeah.
And this will be his best year of his career ever.
Right.
Okay. Number 2. Becky Lynch.
Okay.
Becky Lynch solidified herself with that Fox opening with The Rock. And she's winning the belt, headlining a Mania, and winning the title. Becky Lynch, incredible year for her. Solidify herself as the man, as the face of the women's division in pro wrestling. And the face of women's wrestling, honestly.
Yeah. Present day.
Number 1, come on. You know who it is. Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
Cody number 1, starting a rival company with WWE, launching it, having match of the year with his brother, being just iconic, cutting arguably the best promo of the year, having the match of the year. What the fuck can you say?
Yeah.
Incredible year, and is poised to have a great 2020 also. Yep. We'll see where it'll go. So that's my list.
All right.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's good. And you know what? I think I had to still give an asterisk to Kofi, right? Or no, because he was the champion. Never mind. You're right. No, no asterisk to him. Asterisk to Ronda. I agree with everything.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, everyone, we got to wrap up here for the year. But look, if you need more of us, you know what I talk about. A lot of these topics we talked about here, we go into great length on the 9 to 5, 8-hour episode on patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Thank you, everyone, for listening all year. You guys are the best. If you're thinking about supporting this podcast, you dig it, you've been listening all year. For a couple bucks, you can listen to the Patreon app. We give you content. We're not asking for handouts, but we do need support because we are grassroots. We're not on some big network or anything. We're doing this, baby.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders style, grassroots. So please support us. But yeah, you can listen to the 9 to 5 app on Christmas Day, 8 hours worth of pro wrestling talk. No breaks. Go all the way through. We're killing it in there. You're going to love it, baby. And we'll see you guys in the beginning of 2020. Hey, everybody. Keep watching wrestling. Cheers up. Kisses. Happy New Year. Comedians of wrestling.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.